Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to wrap up this week as we take a look at the preaching of the apostles on the day of Pentecost. Peter's proclamation as he came forth from the upper room with the other apostles, and the kingdom of God was breaking out. The church is born. So much is revealed in that moment. And Peter interprets to all the Jewish people who were present in Jerusalem for the celebration of the day, the Jewish feast of Pentecost. And I'm going to complete here some reflections on Peter's preaching. But in the days ahead, I want to take a look at, as we continue to walk through the Acts of the Apostles, and we don't need to be in a hurry. We're going to kind of take this step by step, because we want to hear, what did the apostles hear, see, experience, say, do? What is it that the Holy Spirit did in them and through them? What is the normal Christian life? What is this encounter and this engagement and miracle that God is working in the earth, giving birth to the church on the day of Pentecost and beginning to extend the kingdom that began with him when Jesus planted his flag, the flag of the kingdom of God, and he brought down the principalities and powers and the authority of Satan over human beings because of our sin and the enslavement to the fear of death that the devil led the human race into. Jesus has provided a way out for the human race, the only way out, the only provider, the only savior, we'll hear in the proclamation of the apostles. That, friends, for the church to get healthy, for the church to be fruitful in her mission, we've got to get the message clear. We have to experience and walk in what the apostles experienced and walked in. The kingdom has to go forward the way it went forward on the first Pentecost, with the message that was present at the first Pentecost in the life of the apostles. That's why it's critical for us to be able to lay hold of this. And friends, this is key. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in the life of the church today. One of the reasons why the church is so ineffective, why the church is in such decline, why there's so much trouble and confusion and division and false teaching and things in the church, is because the church's salt has gone flat. Many, many leaders in the church don't talk like the apostles. They don't sound like them. They don't communicate the same message. It doesn't go forward with the power of the apostles. They don't have any anticipation that could ever happen. A lot is being revealed. But we need to understand, this is the message that the Holy Spirit is going to back. This is the message the Holy Spirit inspires. This is the Holy Spirit, the message the Holy Spirit charges and empowers. It's the message that changes human hearts. It's the message that builds the kingdom of God. It's the message of the church. And when the church is preoccupied with, let's say, the same message everybody in the world is communicating, or the church's priorities are now swamped by and embraced fully as the priorities of the world are the priorities of the church now, and being friends of the world and prioritizing the politics of the world and fixing the world and all that kind of thing as the centerpiece, as the starting point, that's radical compromise, and the Holy Spirit's not going to anoint it. It's not going to bring people to Christ. It's not a message of salvation. It's not the message of the day of Pentecost. And people today just assume, oh yeah, yeah, that's everybody's already saved and everybody, it's already there and people are so good and it's just so wonderful. Now let's all come together in kind of whatever way you experience God, if you believe in God or if you don't believe in God or if whatever reality you believe in, let's all be one and let's all fix the world and make it better and safe and wonderful for everybody. It's a false gospel. It's a false justice movement. God loves justice. He's the source of the good news. He's come to save. But the church's fundamental mission is not to be, as Pope Francis says, an NGO, to act like a non-governmental organization. The church has this power, which is entirely unique in the message of the gospel. So today we're going to finish Peter's proclamation. The message was, I'll just summarize, it's summarized so beautifully here in Acts 2:33, which is the climax of the message that Peter proclaimed, the centerpiece and the core of what's called the kerygma, the declaration the church is meant to give everywhere, always in her life, in the history of the church. This is how people come alive. This is how dead people come to life. Faith comes through hearing, and what's heard is the word of God. And it's the word of God that calls people to repentance and change, turning to God, coming to turning their back on sin, turning to Jesus for salvation, coming to the waters of baptism, being born again, be animated now with the life that flows in the person of Jesus and flows from Jesus, from the throne room of God, into the new humanity, into the church. And this offer is for everyone, Peter made clear. But let's just hear again what he said. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, he's talking about Jesus now. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, who you saw, who you heard, as he's preaching to all the people there in Jerusalem for the feast, he said, he's from Nazareth. Most of you know that. You saw him. You saw the signs he performed. You saw the testimony that God gave to him. You heard his teaching. You know that he was crucified. With trumped up charges, he was crucified, but God the Father of Israel, the God of Israel, it was by his plan and foreknowledge that Jesus would become a sacrifice for sin, and death could not hold him down, Peter said, and God raised him up, and he destroyed all the powers that are set against the human race, and he now is the source of new life. He's the Messiah of Israel, and he's Lord. So here's Peter. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you see and hear, what people are seeing in the apostles on that day of Pentecost. And this is critical. You see Peter saying, how is it that human beings come from death to life? How is it that we overcome? By a power greater than the power of the kingdom of darkness. The powers of the kingdom of darkness, the satanic powers, are more powerful than every human power. But there's a new power. There's a new life, one that swallowed up death and victory. The devil could not defeat, and it was the life that's in Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. And human beings can be saved because they can be brought from death to life, a life that will never die. That's the life of the Holy Spirit. Who can give that life? Where does that life come from? Peter says right here, it comes from the throne of God, from the exalted Son of God, who the Father has given the promise, this Holy Spirit over to. And Jesus said even before he died that the Father has given to Jesus the power and the freedom to share his indestructible life with whomever he chooses. And he chooses to give it to everyone who comes to him, who repents and turns to him in humility. And so Peter's making it clear that what's at the heart of Christianity is not just an exhortation to kind of get our act together and memorize the commandments, more effectively or something. No, it begins with this new life. So Peter's essentially saying the cry is to say, come to Jesus to receive the new life so you can be saved. This is what salvation is, coming into this new life that only Christ can give. And then he says this, let the whole house of Israel, so not just the Gentiles, it begins with the house of Israel, despite what some church leaders today might say. The first proclamation went to Jewish people because it's their Messiah that's being proclaimed. And God is fulfilling his promise to the Jewish people. A harvest of souls is happening on that harvest feast day. And Peter said, let all the house of Israel know therefore assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Who's the Lord? Jesus Christ. Who's the anointed one, the Messiah who gives the Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be saved? To come back into right relationship with God. How does that happen? You have your sins taken away and you become born again by water and the Spirit, which Peter will say here, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And he said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? As Peter proclaimed Jesus as Lord, the Holy Spirit worked. The Holy Spirit cuts to the heart of some who are listening. And those who listen and are cut to the heart, they say, Peter, what is it that we do? How do we get this? Peter said, repent. That means change the direction of your life. Let your life now be directed toward Christ, wholly, fully. He said, repent, acknowledge your sins, that you need forgiveness, and that you understand that only the blood of Jesus can wash you clean of your sin. And he's the one, the high priest, who can forgive you. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How do we get new life? Through the Holy Spirit. How do we get the Holy Spirit? Through Jesus. How and where and when and how does Jesus want to give the Holy Spirit? When we turn to him and accept him as Lord and Savior, when we say yes to him, when we acknowledge our sin and accept his diagnosis of our life and the need to be set free from captivity to the world, the flesh, and the devil. For this promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, which includes the Gentiles, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other words and exhorted them. Peter had lots to say that day, inspired by the Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would give us words to speak. He wants us to speak because faith comes through hearing, and what's heard is the word of God. And then Peter even said this. He said, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Is that something you hear these days, friends? Do we hear that from the church very much, this perspective? Save yourself? No, people just say everybody's saved. They don't have anything to be saved from. But that's not true. There's only one Savior. There's only one means of salvation. And everyone stands in need of salvation, every single person. It's not like Hitler and Putin are the only people who need salvation. Everybody does. There's no one who is good but God, ultimately. And everyone sins and falls short of the glory of God. If you think otherwise, you're out of step with God and God's perception, God's understanding, God's diagnosis of the human condition, which includes your condition and mine. Now, that might offend our pride, like, I'm a good person. I don't need this. You do. Here's what Peter, let his words penetrate your heart. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. That's what I hear. Peter Herbeck. Peter's crying out to me saying, Peter, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they held steadfastly to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and the prayers. So here's what it means to enter the church, and then here's what the life of the church looks like. Who are those who are in the church? Sinful, broken people who heard the good news about Jesus, and Jesus' diagnosis, repented of our sin, came to Jesus, acknowledged it, were baptized into Jesus, received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and began to follow Jesus. And following Jesus is following those he's established as leaders in his visible church. And what do we do? What is our life characterized by now? We hold steadfastly to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of the bread, to the Eucharist, to fellowship together, and to the prayers of God's people. All who believed were together and had all things held in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all as people had need. We'll touch on that more next week, friends, but let's live it with all our hearts. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.